Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action.
Well, it's an honor to have the chance to turn the microphone back around and have this show's host, Diane Allen, on the receiving end of some questions. For 99 episodes, she's asked insightful and thought-provoking questions of her guests, and now I get the opportunity to do that here on this special 100th episode of the Someone Gets Me podcast. So you know who I am. My name is Gabriel Aloisi. I'm a friend and colleague of Diane's, and I've been lucky enough to work with Diane over the years, helping her publish some of her books, develop her website, and help out with some of her other creative endeavors. But this is probably going to be the most fun of all. So Diane is one of a kind. She's taught me many lessons, and I'm sure she's got more today for us in store. So Diane, welcome. How does it feel to be on the other side of this?
I'm excited, and I'm a little bit on the nervous side because I never know with you what's going to happen next. And so I guess I'm getting the taste of what all my guests feel because they don't know what I'm going to do either. So I'm excited, and I can't believe it's 100 episodes already. It's so crazy fun.
Yeah, that's got to be exciting for you. How excited are you?
I'm speechless in a lot of ways because when I started this podcast, I just thought, well, this will be a fun little thing to do. You know, all my friends are doing it, and I love sharing neat ideas. And I never dreamed it would turn into something so powerful and worldwide and all of those things. It's like far transcended everything. So I'm still in shock. And I know when it actually is aired, I'll be going, wow, 100 episodes, 3 digits. Crazy.
That is crazy. So looking back on 99 episodes, what's your favorite? What's one that you wish everyone out there could hear?
Wow. My favorite actually is one that's recorded and it's not aired. Well, it'll have just aired right before this one. It's episode 99. And maybe it's because it's one of my most recent interviews, actually, but it was with Susan Semper, who is the producer of Beyond the Game documentary film. And it was the most smooth, amazing, insightful, intuitive interview I've had ever. I loved it. And there were a few others that I really loved, the guests. Like, I loved your interview. I loved Michelle Royal's interview. And I don't think there was a guest I didn't, you know, that I even didn't resonate with. Everybody I thought was great. But I thought Susan's really... it was amazing. I can't wait to hear it.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, it's different. I mean, I know I've interviewed probably hundreds of people now at this point, and sometimes you just get one where it's just not clicking for some reason, like the, I don't know if it's the state of your mind or whatever, but sometimes I'm not quick enough on asking the questions or processing what that answer was to ask the next one. So have you ever had some of those down days yourself?
Yes, I've had some of those days where I thought I was dialed in. And then once the interview started and I kind of got through the intro, I'm like, okay, now what am I doing? And usually I'm intuitive and I kind of know and I'm in the flow and I've really thought about my guest and where I wanted it to go for the show and those kinds of things while I'm still open in case something comes up. But there have been a couple where I felt really off the whole time or for part of it. And then, but when I listened to it, it didn't come out as awkward as it felt. Mm-hmm. So that was good. Otherwise I would have asked him to redo it with me. But it's hard when you're struggling like that and you're going, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm supposed to know where I'm going with this. You
know? Yeah, I always find if like I didn't prepare well enough. Sometimes I just wing it and then sometimes it really works and it's great and sometimes it's really a disaster. Well, what was the wildest thing that's happened to you on this show, Diane?
The wildest thing. Well, I had a guest, actually, it's happened twice, where I had all these great questions and I really prepared really well because it was somebody I really wanted to interview and I was really excited. And shortly after I did the introduction and said, welcome to the show, they talked almost the whole show. Like I didn't get to ask any of my questions really because one little question, they started asking their own questions to themselves to keep going. And so I never really got to ask the cool questions that I really wanted to ask them. And it just felt like a disaster. It you know, I'm like, wait a second, like, hold on a minute here, you know? And so what they said was great. It was not anywhere in my plan. So I just had to learn how to surrender on those. And it happened a couple times.
Sure. Yeah. You get some of those people, they're very verbose and you just let them run with it. And sometimes I've gotten people, I don't know if you have, but where like they just didn't answer with a very long, you know, it'd be a couple sentences and then there'd be this like this awkward silence and I wasn't expecting them to stop. Have you ever had anybody like that? Maybe came on nervous.
I had somebody nervous who did the talking thing and they asked their own questions all the time. And I had a few people who started only with one or two word answers. And so I learned from you and my other seasoned friends who've been doing podcasts longer than I, and that is coach the people in advance about it's okay to tell a story or say more, that I don't want it to sound like an interrogation. I would like it to be a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I've had several people I've interviewed where it was their very first podcast interview. And I didn't know that till they said it on the podcast. It helped a lot. It helped them be able to say more, or I didn't have to fill it in. But what gets awkward is they'll stop and I'll get ready to say something and then they start talking. And so it gets a little tricky not to stomp on somebody accidentally when the cadence of their speech is a little bit off because they're nervous. So I just try to make everybody feel happy.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes too when you're not in the same room with somebody. I know you're doing your interviews with people all over the country. And sometimes just the technology itself, there's a little bit of delay there. I've had some problems with that. I don't know if you have as well.
I have a little bit with people on the West Coast, but I've really had it with issues. I've had some people in France and Australia. And, you know, it's cool that we're doing technology all over the place, right? And talking to people all over the world. But sometimes their internet's a little slower or things just don't sync up exactly right. And it reminds me of the old days when we used to make long distance phone calls and you have to wait for the call answer to come back, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Hello. Hello.
Right. Oh my God.
I bet you've had some pretty interesting realizations on this show, just learning and talking to some of your guests. What's some of the better advice that you've gotten over 99 episodes, Diane?
Wow. The best advice. One of them was with Sandy Freshy, who did human design. And I had her do my human design thing. Because one of the things I do is I try out the service or things for most of the people. So I kind of have personal experience. And so I already kind of knew that I was a manifesting generator. And part of my mission in the world is generating content and things like you and everyone else who knows me. Oh, like that's obvious. But it was confirming for me that, wow, okay, this constant generation of things is part of my soul's mission. So I'm lined up. And that felt really good. Well, I have her on the podcast interview like a few weeks after she did this thing with me. And in the middle of it, she says, well, you're a manifesting generator and you need something to respond to. And she went on and on and on about me in a really cool way. And it was all one big epiphany for me. I'm like, oh my God. And I think I even said it because I was stunned and I'm like trying to take this information in, then I'm happy I'm recording it. And I had no idea it was coming. I had no idea. And it really changed some of my business and it changed some of how I operate with my clients and it changed some of my self-acceptance that this is really who I am. And if other people get jealous or don't like the fact that I create a lot of neat things, then it's more on them. Like my sensitivities got a way to have some validation, I guess. So that was huge, profound.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's amazing. Who would be your dream guest? If you could have one person on the next 100 episodes, who would that be?
Richard Branson.
Yeah, why is that?
Because he's happy and he's creative and he's out of the box. And I think that it would be so inspiring and jazz. And I would want to ask him, you know, people don't get you. They still don't get you. And the name of the show is Someone Gets Me. And so how does he handle that? That would be like a stellar answer. I would love to know.
That actually leads perfectly right into my next question, which is the title of the show, Someone Gets Me. Why did you choose that name, Diane?
I choose that name, Gay, because that is the comment that probably 90% of the people who have sought my assistance formally and informally have said after interacting with me, that they come to me usually feeling either misunderstood or not understood or like nobody would get them even if they tried. And I can hear them in a way and understand in a deep sense. And they walk away going, whoa, someone gets me. So when I was trying to name the show, and one of my colleague said, well, everyone says someone gets me when they're done talking to you, name it that. And I'm like, wow, that's true. They do. And so I named it for that because it's what everyone says after they meet me.
That's really cool. I like that a lot. I would imagine that you've probably had a few weeks or maybe many weeks throughout this 100 episodes where maybe you felt like you could skip an episode or maybe it was too much going on. You know, what kept you going? What kept you motivated to keep getting this podcast out week after week?
Every time I wonder if it matters, you know, like, is what I'm doing even mattering? If I ask that question to the universe, we usually within 24 hours, there's a phone call, an email, or a text message from somebody saying, exciting an episode or something I said on them, and that really helped them. And so I just keep imagining there's somebody listening that I probably will never know, that if I say one sentence or my guest says one thing that makes them feel better, then all the shows are worth it. And I never know who or what it is, you know? And so when I haven't felt like it, or I wasn't really sure where it was going, because it didn't start out as an interview podcast. It started out with just me, and some episodes are just me. And I like it blended. I'm glad it turned into this. But I just think of that one person, you know, that's going to hear it. And I also realize that most people don't tell you they're the ones hearing it. So I don't know who or where they are. And I'm certain they're out there. So I go with that belief that somebody's going to happen upon it and go, wow, I'm really glad I heard that.
Yeah, it's so nice when you get one of those emails or a text message or something from somebody, especially when it's unexpected. I remember I was at a conference not too long ago, and I'm on my podcast in, I think this week was 185 episodes. And I was just thinking that this is about 3 months ago, and I was sitting at the conference and just thinking to myself, man, I wish I need some kind of validation, you know, that I should keep going. Like, I know I've gotten it, you know, people have emailed me or called me throughout the years, but I was like, today I just need something. And it was amazing. Almost the whole day went by, but at the end of the day, someone came up and said, I love your show. Keep doing what you're doing. And that meant the world to me. So what were some of the messages that really impacted you or kept you going, Diane?
I had somebody join my Someone Gets Me Facebook group because of something I said on one of the episodes, that they went to the show notes and joined the group. And since then, they've communicated with me many times about how they are happy that they feel like somebody, and now it's a community of people on that group that understand and get them. And she said, even though I don't say a lot, I don't type a lot, I read it all. And I'm really glad that she's not alone, basically, that we're there. That could bring me to tears just recounting it, I guess. And, oh, what else? That's the big one. One time I went through a long spell where I did bunches of interviews and I didn't do any solo shows. And then all of a sudden I get a couple emails from people who I know listen to all of them. They tell me they do. I see them personally. And all of a sudden it's like, well, where's the solo episodes? I want to hear some of your stuff. Like, wait a minute. Like, a retreat once a year. Like, I have to have longer than that. Like, and it was really sweet because I didn't know that mattered as much as it did to these two different people that don't even know each other. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll do some more single episodes. And when I did them, like, I waited a couple weeks, I did a couple, both of them emailed me and thanked me. So I knew that they heard them too. And so I'm like, wow, it really did matter. They just weren't like blowing smoke, you know, and that right. kind of stuff means more to me than I think most people would realize.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're listening to this episode and, you're touched by what Diane's done over these 99 episodes, now 100. Go ahead and shoot her an email. She'd appreciate hearing from you. I know it because I know firsthand what it means to get a listener email. What have you learned about yourself, Diane, doing this show that you didn't expect?
That as introverted as I am, I love interviewing people and asking questions and having dialogues with some people I know, and many of them I didn't before. I never would have suspected that was in my skill set, along with some of the questions I ask. Almost everybody says, you ask questions no one's ever asked me. And all of that was new information. If you would have asked me before I started the show about those skills, I wouldn't have said I didn't have them, but wasn't aware I did. And they're good skills to have. I'm really glad the show has kind of shown it to me that I have all these little gems in me that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, totally. That's really cool. That's fantastic. So you say that you work with visionary leaders. And so for people that really don't understand what vision, that term means, visionary leaders, what does that mean for you?
A visionary leader is somebody who knows in their heart and in their soul that their reason for sucking air has value and is good and is beneficial. And their core nonverbal inner self really wants that to come forward no matter what. And so sometimes that's where they have the struggle, where I come in to help them out is, you know, they get depressed or upset or just not sure even how to bring it into reality. And all they care about is doing good for the world. Like, that's what they talk about. They're not talking about the kind of car they have or any of those things as much. It's not like they don't have it. They usually do, but it's more about what can I do to help this world be a better place? And those are the visionary leaders. And I love working with them because it's harder. It's much harder than the average person because they're usually very smart and sensitive and on top of things and forward thinking, and it thrills me.
Yeah, I bet. What's one of the big success stories that you've had, either speaking with individuals, whether it's doing the show, your retreats, your books? What's some of the real big wins that you've had?
Okay, well, there's a lot of those related to this, but I had this one person. He always stands out in my mind when I'm asked this question. And when he met me, he was really struggling. He had just retired. He had a doctorate in chemistry. He was the newly retired CEO of a very large company, and he was very scientific. And he was referred to me by somebody who knew me, who knew him. And he's like, well, I just don't want to be preached to. I don't want all that spiritual stuff. I hear you're a spiritual person. I'm like, well, I'm also a science person. I love chemistry. It was one of my majors in college, and I love all of it. So let's see what I can do for you. You know, no, I'm not going to preach to you.
Right.
And so he's a really cool guy. And so we got to know each other, and he kept working with me reluctantly at first, but his wife and his adult children were kind of like, no, she's got something going on. Talk to her. Well, long and short of it is I taught him all about quantum physics and string theory and stuff. And so I talked his language of science for how the world is. And he worked with me for about 2.5 years, actually. He was struggling with starting to drink too much and feeling depressed, you know, because of the new retirement. It was all like a response to, like he said to me, he goes, when I was growing up, I was the man. I had a wife and children. I had to make as much money as I could, as fast as I could, invest it well so that everyone is taken care of for the rest of their lives. That's my job as a man, and that was my only job. And then he retired, financially successful, taking care of everybody, like he did it. But then now he was miserable and hollow and didn't even know who he was and didn't have the relationships he wanted with his children and his wife because he was so busy filling that role that he was taught. So we had to re-script his roles and help him rebuild his relationships and talk to his family. There's a lot to do to help him kind of get his balance back. And of course, he stopped using alcohol to medicate it because he could understand and have conversations. His children live in Texas. He lives a little south of here. And by the end of working with him for a couple of years, all of those relationships were repaired. I was getting phone calls from his wife and his children thanking me. And the most fun part about it was about 3 months after I saw him the last time, I got this beautiful voicemail from him thanking me because he was happy. He's taken up pottery. He has repaired all his relationships. And not only that, they're thriving. And he said he never would have done it. And he never would have found that inner purpose and vision for his life in the bigger picture had he not run into me. And that, I mean, there's no words to go with that. And the ripple effect of that is amazing. And he now is living his soul vision where he was cheating himself before. So That's probably the one that always sticks out the most.
Oh, I love that. I love that story. It's great that he went in like that. It seems probably like people have the biggest transformations where they're not expecting it. Do you find that to be the case?
I find that the case a lot. Like, it's happened for me too. My biggest transformations are like when somebody says something, I'm like not thinking it's coming because, you know, your ego can't defend it. But I think a lot of people don't realize that I have more than one tool in my bag. And so I can talk science or I can talk spiritual or I can talk whatever, nature things, because I love to learn and I love to gain information because I never know who I'm going to be speaking to next. And that was an intuition I received when I was like 18. And so I've been learning stuff for lots of years now. And it's fun for me to be able to meet somebody right where they are and be in their language and be in their world and say, okay, well, if I have the flashlight and we're lost in the woods, how can I help you get to where you want to go without my agenda? And And to me, that's such a great honor. And I love seeing people happy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. So you probably have people listen to this show. Maybe they're a little timid or fearful about reaching out to you, or maybe, you know, they've read your books or they've read your blogs, because you're very prolific, as you mentioned. How do people identify when it's the right time to reach out to you and maybe think about working with you, Diane?
I think the best time is when they have that inner feeling like there's something I need to do in the world. There's something more. And either they know what it is or they don't, and they're not sure what to do. And there's that pain coupled with a little bit of open-mindedness of, if I let somebody just kind of have a glimpse, maybe that open-mindedness will show me the way. So it's that combination of kind of pain and being aware of, like, maybe I'll do something with it and kind of curious.
Mm-hmm. And what's the best way to go about starting that relationship? I mean, is it shooting you an email? Is it maybe attending one of your retreats, reading one of your books? What's the best way to go about starting?
Well, there's different ways. I like it when somebody either just emails me directly and says, hey, I heard the show, or I read your book, and what do you think about this? And I jump on a Zoom call with them, and we have a face-to-face dialogue that we can see if they want to really work with me and how, because I have so many different programs and things. The other way that I think is even just as interesting is showing up at one of my retreats or one of my events, or like where I speak, because then somebody can see what I'm about without the risk of, like, oh my God, it's one-on-one. But I don't bite. I'm not really scary. I'm actually, you know, kind of funny. So I think either way, but like if somebody's hearing the podcast and they have a question or they want to know it, I say, you know, reach out right away, like email me right away, because no better time to get your question answered than when you have it in that moment. Waiting never serves any of us.
Right. You mentioned earlier when you were answering another question, but you kind of said it offhand, but you said you're a very introverted person. And I bet a lot of people probably wouldn't guess that, people who have maybe seen you or heard you, or again, read what you put out there. What's that been like to be an introverted person, and how have you been able to get past that introversion and get your message out into the world?
Oh, when I was younger, my introversion was the most painful thing ever. When I was in high school, I couldn't even tell you my last name if I was being introduced. It was really, really painful. So I've had to do a lot of work on myself and a lot of understanding of what introversion really is, and that it's positively correlated with being a visionary. And most visionaries are introverted. And I've heard stories of other visionary successful people. And I'm like, okay, well, all right, they can do it. I can do it too. And kind of, you know, grew a lot of wisdom over the years. And then I realized, and I've learned, that introversion is not the same as our personality. That I recharge myself by myself. That's introversion. And I love people at the same time. And it's okay to love people and be an introvert, which I didn't know when I was younger. So as I learned all of those things all through my life, then I'm like, okay, well, I had a spiritual awakening, and I'm trying to remember when it was, probably 25 years ago now. It's a while ago. And I wouldn't have called it a spiritual awakening then, actually, either, which is all kind of interesting. But I had this awareness, this awakening, that I'm supposed to be like a verbal conduit. Like, I'm supposed to be helping wake people up verbally, like using words. And I'm like, oh, I don't really know how to do that, but okay. Like, you know, I kept getting these messages, and I was running therapy groups and all of that. And I'm like, that's okay. And then the more I started working with more visionaries and executives, and really finding that the people that gravitated toward me were the artists, the musicians, the athletes, the eccentric, high thinker, vibrant people, I started thinking, well, like attracts like. So they're seeing in me something I couldn't even really grasp yet, but I went with it, and I just started saying yes. And so when I had that spiritual awakening, I made the agreement with the universe that my answer is always yes, that I will never say anything other than yes to something that comes to me to do an opportunity or situation that I think is for the benefit of all. And all includes me. So it's, you know, and so like when I started the podcast, several people said, you should really do it. You have a strong message. I'm like, well, okay. Because in my world, Gabe, my message is average. I talk about stuff all day long, like everyone knows it. And it's taken a long time to realize, just because I know it doesn't mean everyone does. And so I made the decision many years ago. I say yes to everything that comes my way that can be the benefit for all, which is why we're getting ready to start our third podcast. In addition to this one, and the retreat this year has expanded by an extra day because people are asking for it. And I really believe in being of service to all people, especially people in my group. I do it, but it's all divine. You've seen me in front of an audience. It's all spirit. It's funny sometimes. It just starts up and I just go and I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. So when you trust the greater universe, wonderful things happen. I would not change it for anything.
That's such a great lesson. And some I've actually been pondering myself the last couple of weeks. You know, I think I have a habit of saying, you know, but a lot or something like that. And then words are important. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like a improv tactic that you're supposed to always say yes and, right? So something really wild or crazy happens, you know, during a skit and you have to go along with it and then add something to it on top of that. I think that's just such a cool lesson, not only for comedy, but really in life in general. And you just made that point perfectly. I want to talk to you a little bit more about your retreat, because I've been on the retreat a couple of years and I've really enjoyed being at those retreats and learned so much. And it's just such a great to be with other like-minded people and get away and, of course, digest all the things that you impart to us at those things. What are you looking forward to in this upcoming retreat? Because when this episode airs, it'll probably be about a month out.
Oh, I'm excited about lots of things about this year. I'm excited that it's 2.5 days. It's the longest of all the ones, but I tried to do 1.5 days like last year, and I got a lot of pushback from the attendees from last year that requested it to be longer. So I added another day, and that adds extra reception time and fun things. I also am planning all kinds of really fun experiences. I really believe that we learn more by experience and connection than just talking. So I do teach a lot, and I'm going to teach in varied ways this year, a little bit more varied than some people know about, but not like off the chain or anything. And it's designed all for visionary people who want to live in a visionary kind of way, which I believe everybody's a visionary in their own way, if their heart is in the right place. And what else am I looking forward to? Oh, the good food, of course, and the beach.
Yeah, last year you had cookies and milk break. I thought that was my favorite one, I think.
Yes, I always have warm chocolate chip cookies, and usually I ask for either peanut butter or oatmeal cookies to go with them and milk for a break, because we all want nurturing comfort food. Everybody loved that break. I think I got comments on that all over the place. And it just, you know, that's where following my intuition works. You know, I'm an intuitive naturally, and I use my intuition all the time. And that was an intuitive decision. You know, it was the day before the retreat, and I'm looking over the final menu with the people, and I'm at the resort, and I'm like, you know, this particular time needs a break. I want to give them something to eat or something, like, you know, something to do. I'm like, can I have milk and cookies? Like, it just was an intuition, and it was the most talked about in all the feedback forms, the most talked about break. I'm like, all right. Yeah. And the other thing I'm most looking forward to is who shows up. On all the years, this will be my 11th year in a row of doing these retreats. Always, it's the perfect group. There's always the coolest people, and I love it. My introverted self is so funny. I love those connections. I love hugging people. I love inspiring people. I love watching other people inspire other people. There is nothing better than authentic human in-person connection. That's what's going to heal the planet anyway. And I'm honored that I get to create all this amazing things for amazing people.
Yeah. And you've got some co-presenters happening this year for the first time, right? Tell us about those.
Well, I'm sneaky, Gabe. And I called right after the retreat. I called Carol and I called Jason, both of whom have been interviewed on the podcast. In fact, Jason twice. And I respect them greatly. They've been to my retreats. They know me. I know them. Right after this retreat, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have extra people talking. It's going to be so much fun. So I called them up and I told them this whole great story. And then I said, so you're going to do it with me, right? I didn't really give them a chance to say no. And they both jumped on and said yes. And so this year, We're doing authentic leadership with the five steps, and we have all kinds of amazing things planned. And it's the perfect combination. It's the perfect synergy because Carol is amazing, and she's got this really great corporate kind of business background, and she likes to be have things in order. Jason is a young hippie, you know, and he, in his neurosemantic training, he's a master, and he's unbelievable. Both of them are like so skilled and so amazing. Now, I'm honored to have them in my audience and to share the stage and have them be part of the big experience with me is even better. Like, oh my God. And the people who are coming to the retreat this year are going to be stunned because the ideas that came out of the three of us and are coming out of the three of us as we put this thing together are even beyond my understanding. So I'm very excited that the two of them said yes and that the two of them are equally excited, and it's going to be really fun.
That's super. So for folks that don't know, and you talked exactly the right time for me to be able to find this. If you look for the episode, How NLP Can Change Your Life, an interview with Jason Schneider, is the Jason that Diane's referring to. And then that was back in, it looks like early 2018, February of 2018. And then Carol Gill is the Carol that Diane just mentioned. Her episode was March 20th. So go back and listen to both of those episodes. And as Diane mentioned, those are two pretty amazing individuals. So I'm excited to hear both of them in addition to Diane. I think that's going to be a great 2.5 days over there. You're doing it in Hammock Beach, right? Tell us about the venue.
Oh, the venue is the Hammock Beach Golf Resort in Palm Coast, Florida, that of course you hooked me up with, which thankfully you did that. That place is amazing. They are rated 4 stars, and I don't know why, because it should be a 5-star facility without question. I went there to take video before the last retreat where they had there just to do some marketing things. And the lady in the coffee house in the lobby knows I like vanilla latte. So if anybody really wants to get to me, they just bring me a vanilla latte and I'm like, yours. I love those. And so I ordered one and I did my videos and I left. And then I show up 9 weeks later for my retreat. I come down out of my room and I'm walking through the lobby. I think her name is Kathy. She goes, Diane, would you like a vanilla latte? Now, she hasn't seen me in 8 weeks.
Wow. And she'd only seen you one time prior.
Once, that's crazy. And that's the only time she did it. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is amazing. Well, then I realized it was that way with everybody. And everybody who has dealt with me already, and it was a very short time, knew my name and knew what I was doing and knew my people. And when I called to do this year, they all already knew and took care of it like seamlessly. And the service while we were there was over the top amazing. The food was great. There was only one person had a little bit of challenge, and that's probably because that person just had challenges in general. I mean, it wasn't characteristic at all of any of us. And they were very accommodating. Like the lunch I serve for the VIPs and the inner circle people, they get food with their ticket. They didn't send me anything on the menu I wanted to get. Like, I'm like, I don't want this menu. I don't like it. So I said, can I have this? And I dictated what I wanted. I want a salad with these kinds of greens. I would like roasted pear, and I want chicken, and I want this kind of bread. Can I have something that or something like that? And they said, well, let me think about it. And then they call me back. Yes, we'll do something like that. It was exactly that. Nice. And yeah, and it's like every little thing. I wanted coffee one time, and the restaurant that I was closest to was closed. That person ran across the place and brought it back. And they didn't give me a hard time. They didn't say, oh, it was really hard. No, we can't. Never did that come out of anyone's mouth. So I'm excited to be there and bring my people back there and to be in a place that is that hospitable, that you really can retreat and get away from the crazy world. So I'm really grateful that you told me about the place because they've exceeded my expectations.
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful property. And since you're open to saying yes, I've got a little idea for you. They've got this pretty sweet lazy river that you can float along in. That would be kind of cool for like a meditation, to go floating down the river. Meditating would be kind of cool. So
Oh, yes.
That's one request I've got for this year's retreat.
All right. Lazy. I'm writing it down. I'm doing it.
All right. Before I let you go, I mean, there's one other thing that I wanted to touch on that you mentioned during our conversation here. And you talked a couple times about yourself being an intuitive. And, you know, there's probably other people listening to this that maybe feel that they might have some of those gifts. How do people recognize that, first of all? And then once you do recognize it, what do you do from there?
Wow. The best way you recognize it is people around you usually look at you and say, how do you know that? You know, I have people say to me all the time, you know stuff nobody else knows. And that's the natural intuitive gift. And the way I look at it is everything's connected to everything. All of us have some level of it. Some of us more than others, and some of us exercise it more. You know, it's kind of like any muscle, I guess. It has to do with our connection to the higher universe or the deeper universe, kind of both at the same time. So you notice it because you know things, or you get feelings about things. There's different kinds of intuition. Like mine comes through as an energy feeling or as an idea that'll pop in my head out of nowhere. And in fact, something's going to happen at the retreat that I was mopping my floor on Sunday and it popped in my head. And so in the meeting we just had about the retreat, I added it. And Jason's all jazzed and Carol's like, oh my God, I can't believe you're going to do that. I said, oh yeah, I totally am. And I totally am because it came in intuitively, which means somebody is going to be in that room where that particular activity will change their life. I don't know who, and I don't know why, and I don't have to. So I follow my intuition that strongly. But usually it's because somebody knows something. Yeah. And they can sense or feel things. Some friends of mine hear things and can smell things and whatever. I've had those at times. And so when you honor those kinds of gifts you have, great things happen.
How do you differentiate between something being maybe a coincidence, like people could say, just write things off, oh, that was a coincidence, you know, I happened to think that and then it happened. How do you differentiate a coincidence from being truly intuitive? Or to put that even a slightly different way, you know, there's the power of intention, right? Like, so how much of that is you making it happen? How much of it is coincidence and how much is it being truly intuitive? How can you differentiate those things? I know it's a loaded question.
It's a loaded question. And I'm going to say yes is the answer. It's all true. Everything's connected to everything. So that Einstein said that. He was kind of smart. And I really believe that. I think everybody's connected to everything. So many times I will pick my phone up out of nowhere, knowing it's going to ring or somebody's going to be there and they will have not done it. It will not have rung. And then the moment I put it down, it's ringing. So I'm picking it up while they're dialing, right? That happens all the time. Now, was it because I guessed? Was it a coincidence or was it because I felt their energy? I think it's both. I think it's more I felt them because I'm really tuned in. The other day, somebody I'm working with, one of my clients actually, he just popped in my head out of nowhere and I'm like, what is going on? And so whenever that happens, when somebody just pops in my head, I just stop for a minute, take three breaths, and I kind of imagine the person. And then I say, all right. And I ask my guides, I ask the world, the universe, whatever, what's up? Do I need to reach out? What's going on? And I got the message to text. So I did. I texted saying, thinking about you, just wanted to let you know. Mm-hmm. And then about an hour later, I got a very long text back saying that person was in a meeting and was in very deep thought about things that mattered to their vision and the work we're doing. And they were really surprised that I felt it. And I laughed and said, of course I felt it. We're connected. So for me, that was all my intuition. That surprised him. And he knows I use my intuition to help serve my people. That's one of the skills I bring to the table for my clients is I can see the road sometimes they can't see yet using that. So coincidence, I don't believe that there are such things as coincidences. I think every person that we meet is there on purpose, with a purpose, and we called them to us. So we probably want to sort out what that's about. And we can call them coincidences if we want to live on a superficial way, but I don't live a superficial life at all. So I don't see anything as a coincidence. I don't know you by accident. I don't know nobody. I don't know anybody by accident, especially the people who have maybe betrayed me or caused me harm or that I've hurt, you know. Those interactions are meant for our greater good. We just have to see it in a way so we can keep growing and evolving.
Yeah, I love that answer. It's so great. I think that's going to help a lot of people out there who maybe folks in their life just write off the special gift that they actually do have. So you just validated that for some folks out there. I appreciate you doing that, Diane. Well, I am so excited that you came on and did this. I hope it wasn't too tough for you. Being an introvert, getting on the hot seat today. But thank you so much for doing it, Diane.
Oh, thank you, Gabe. And thanks for hosting this show. It's really cool to have somebody that I know and respect so highly hosting the show, and I feel really safe in your hands. So it was, my introverted self could relax a little. So that's good.
Right on. That's awesome. And for those listening, I hope that you will continue to tune in for the next 100 episodes. And don't forget to join Diane on her website, visionsapply.com. And if you're interested in the retreat, I'm sure she would love to have you join her there the Jacksonville, St. Augustine area is where that Kamek Beach is. And you can go to visionsapply.com/annual-retreat, or just go to the website and there's a few buttons there to click. So hope to see you there. Diane, this was such a pleasure and congratulations on 100.
Cool. Thank you so much, Gabe. I can't believe it. Woo, we're celebrating 100 episodes. Thanks so much.
Woo-hoo, yes. Strike up the band.
Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit someonegetsme.com. Again, thanks for listening.